This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. In this study, Pastor Rick and Kay Warren share biblical wisdom and their life experiences to help you find God's path to peace in even the most difficult seasons of life. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get a set of 52 Bible verse memorization cards for this series, How to Get Through What You're Going Through. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's the final part of a message called Surrender, the Path to Peace.
See, the temptation in our grief is to turn away from God. It's to run from Him. It's to go as far in the other direction as we can, because we figure in some way God is responsible. And so if He has allowed this to happen and we're mad and we're angry and we're shocked and we're heartbroken, we run. And all of those emotions are okay, but they're not long-term responses. Long-term, we have to figure out how to be in worship again. God will never abandon you in your anger. He will never abandon you in your grief. He will never abandon you in your tears. He will never abandon you in your doubts, ever. He will never. But those emotions have a way of clouding. They form a fog, if you will, a cloud that keeps us sometimes from receiving the spiritual insight and the comfort that God longs to give to us. And it's hard to recognize God's working when we're lashing out at Him or when we're completely devastated by sorrow. So David went to God's house. He went to the tabernacle. But it's really not about the place, because as much as I love the worship center here at Lake Forest, it's not a cathedral, okay? You know, nobody comes here to admire the beautiful art in our worship center. I mean, it's a very functional place, and it's warm, and it's comfortable, and I love it. But, you know, let's be honest, it ain't no cathedral, okay? So we don't come here because it's beautiful. And if you are in one of our campuses, you use rented facilities. You don't even get to go there during the week. So it's certainly not about the place. What it is about this. The Bible talks about quietness and stillness. He talks about reconnecting all through the Word of God. So I'm advising you, what I've done for myself, what Rick and I have done, what our family has done, is to find places that are quiet, that are serene, that are tranquil, that would allow you to reconnect with God somewhere, I think, in the beauty of the world that God has created. If I sit in my house, pretty soon all I can see are all the memories that break my heart, and I get tunnel vision, and I get claustrophobic, and grief threatens to just swallow me up. And so when I get outside and I see the world that God has made, and I see the majesty that He has used to make this world, it reinforces my faith and my belief in Him. And I see that this God who designed this incredible beauty and maintains it all, is the God that is still in control, and I can trust Him. Now, you can probably already tell from that I'm a pretty visual person, and I like to use different objects in worship because I really believe that using tangible objects like a mystery box or a hope box have a way of connecting us to the intangible. God is spirit, and we can't see Him. And so sometimes with our faith, it's so helpful to have tangible things that help us in our worship. This is something that someone gave to me a few years ago. It's called the clinging cross, and it's very twisted and broken, and I love that. It's meant to fit here in the palm of your hand so that you can grasp tightly to this cross as you pray. And I have to tell you, in the last 4.5 months, I have clung to this cross in prayer so many times. I love the fact that it's twisted because it reminds me of the twisted body, what Jesus went through as He gave Himself up for me. It reminds me of the twisted nature of my grief and how I have been left broken. But as I bring my broken self to the cross where Jesus was broken, and in prayer, He and I talk and we commune, I find that I see spiritual insights that I don't see any other way. Another thing that I've done, some of you are going to start thinking I'm really weird, but and that's probably true, but go with me on it, is I have taken a blanket, and I have wrapped myself up in a blanket along with the cross, because in my lowest moments, I've needed just a safe place to be, And in your lowest moments, if you can envision it, maybe you're not all about the tangible things. Okay, fine, we're all different in the way that we connect with God. But for those of you who do, I'd urge you to try it. But just to consider this, be in a safe place. If it's God's house, if it's in nature, if it's with a group of people where you feel safe to yell, to scream, to cry, to weep, to moan, to argue, to question. But know this, wrapped in his love, clinging to his cross, wrapped in his love, you are safe. And it is the place that you maybe can take those first stabs again at worshiping. Because grief has a way of keeping us from worshiping. We're too overwhelmed. But it's in worship that we connect with God and find that he comforts us. As I said, I'm just past the stage of where I can breathe. And now as I worship, maybe you're listening to this today because God is gently inviting you again to surrender your loss to him. A great Christian from hundreds of years ago said this, God is not a spy looking to surprise you. He is not an enemy lurking in the shadows to hurt you. God is your father who loves you. And he wants to help you if you will but trust in his goodness.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Scripture memorization is a powerful tool to help you remember God's promises, principles, and the purposes he has for you. That's why Pastor Rick created a very special scripture card set with 52 key verses from his How to Get Through What You're Going Through teaching series. This 52-card set is filled with beautiful artwork, accented by stunning gold-foiled designs. These verses will help you remember that God is in control and that he will bring you good out of bad. And today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, we'll send you the How to Get Through What You're Going Through scripture card set to say thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. And be sure to let us know the call letters of this station. Thank you so much for your support.
Now let's get back to today's lesson here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope.
Now, you can probably already tell from that I'm a pretty visual person, and I like to use different objects in worship because I really believe that using tangible objects like a mystery box or a hope box have a way of connecting us to the intangible. God is spirit, and we can't see him. And so sometimes with our faith, it's so helpful to have tangible things that help us in our worship. This is something that someone gave to me a few years ago. It's called the clinging cross, and it's very twisted and broken, and I love that. It's meant to fit here in the palm of your hand so that you can grasp tightly to this cross as you pray. And I have to tell you, in the last 4.5 months, I have clung to this cross in prayer so many times. I love the fact that it's twisted because it reminds me of the twisted body, what Jesus went through as he gave himself up for me. It reminds me of the twisted nature of my grief and how I have been left broken. But as I bring my broken self to the cross where Jesus was broken, and in prayer, he and I talk and we commune, I find that I see spiritual insights that I don't see any other way. Another thing that I've done, some of you are going to start thinking I'm really weird, but and that's probably true, but go with me on it, I have taken a blanket, and I have wrapped myself up in a blanket along with the cross, because in my lowest moments, I've needed just a safe place to be. And in your lowest moments, if you can envision it, maybe you're not all about the tangible things. Okay, fine, we're all different in the way that we connect with God. But for those of you who do, I'd urge you to try it. But just to consider this, be in a safe place. If it's God's house, if it's in nature, if it's with a group of people where you feel safe to yell, to scream, to cry, to weep, to moan, to argue, to question. But know this, wrapped in his love, clinging to his cross, wrapped in his love, you are safe. And it is the place that you maybe can take those first stabs again at worshiping. Because grief has a way of keeping us from worshiping. We're too overwhelmed. But it's in worship that we connect with God and find that he comforts us. As I said, I'm just past the stage of where I can breathe. And now as I worship, maybe you're listening to this today because God is gently inviting you again to surrender your loss to him. A great Christian from hundreds of years ago said this, God is not a spy looking to surprise you. He is not an enemy lurking in the shadows to hurt you. God is your Father who loves you, and he wants to help you if you will but trust in his goodness. Rick's going to tell the next point about surrendering. Okay.
Some of you may not know that Kay wrote a book on this, on the path to peace through surrender. It was called Dangerous Surrender, Saying Yes to God. And if you haven't read that book, I encourage you to read it. Now, there are two other steps on this path to peace that David did. He does these six things when he has this crisis in his life. You need to know these six things because you're going to have crises in your life. The fifth thing that David does is this. Do something productive. In your grief, in your shock, in your sorrow, in your sadness, in your struggle, part of surrender is to do something productive. You see, when we're hit with an unexpected loss, what happens is we get paralyzed by it. And you get stuck. And often you can't even, like, you lose your job. Let's say if you went to work tomorrow and you go in and they give you a pink slip and says, you're done. How long have you served here? 10 years. Sorry, you're done. You're in shock. Because all of a sudden, boom, you don't have a job anymore. And you're paralyzed. You can't even think what to do. Well, one of the things you need to do as you get to this stage is you start moving. You start maybe just a little tiny step, one small step at a time. The fifth step of David's recovery is 1 Samuel 12, verse 20. And he says this, after that, after he's done these other things, where he got up from the ground, he washed himself, he put on lotion, he changed his clothes, he goes to the tabernacle and the temple, and he worships. It says, after that, he returned to the palace and ate. Now, I like that part. He returned to the palace and ate. Now, why does he go to the palace? Well, he's the king, duh. Okay, he's the king. The palace is his place of productivity. The palace is where he works. He's basically saying, I'm going to go back to work. Now, let me ask you this. This is just a day after this baby has died. Do you think David's over that grief? Of course not. You don't ever get over grief anyway. Remember we said you don't get over it, you get through it. So is he still grieving? Yes. Is he still sad? Yes. Is he still in a whirlwind? Yes. I remember writing in my journal about a month ago, I don't have to stop mourning in order to start moving. You might write that down. I don't have to stop mourning in order to start moving. In other words, if I wait until I feel like moving, I'm not going to feel like it for a long, long time. And so this step of doing something productive when you have had a major loss, you just broke up with your boyfriend. You had somebody just walk out of your life. You just had something happen to you that was catastrophic. You got the bad news that your friend or your neighbor has cancer. Something's happened to you. What you've got to do at that point, you have to take a first step. I don't have to stop mourning to start moving, but it requires faith. Where do you need to take a step of faith? Where do you need to take a baby step? What are you afraid to do? What do you know you should be doing, but you've been paralyzed and you haven't done it? I want to challenge you as your pastor, somebody who loves you, take a step of faith. That is the path to peace. When you surrender your fear to God, give God that thing you're afraid to do. Grief doesn't paralyze, fear does. There's one more step. And the sixth thing David does is this. Keep on loving despite your pain. Keep on loving even in your pain. In spite of your pain, keep on loving. Now, why do I have to say this? Because when you get hurt, the natural reaction is to pull in into a shell, build up giant walls around you, said, I'm never going to let another man hurt me again. I'm never going to let another woman hurt me again. That was too painful. And you pull in and you build walls and you build bridges. Yeah, there's a way to live without pain. Have no love in your life. Love equals pain. Sorry. Don't be afraid of that, because the pain actually deepens your love. It makes you a more loving, not less, person when you let it deepen you. The pain that comes from deep love makes you love your love even more fruitful. When you lose somebody you love, whether it's they move away, they die, or they reject you, it's heartbreaking. Doesn't matter what causes, it's heartbreaking. And don't build that wall around. You've got to keep on loving. What do you do when somebody rejects your love? You redirect it. Because there are a lot of people in the world who need your love. If you've always wanted to have children and you've been unable to have children, what do you do with that love? Just be bitter about it? No. There are 137 million orphans in the world that love to be adopted. You redirect your love. And if somebody turns you off, rejects you, shuts you down, what do? There are plenty of people who need your love. You redirect it. And so you keep on loving in your pain, and you look at what you've got left, not just what you've lost. This is what David did. He went back, and he loved his wife. 2 Samuel verse 12, verse 24, the sixth thing David did. It's after worship, after all these other things. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and he slept with her. And she became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. And you know what happened to Solomon? He became the wisest man in the world and the wealthiest man in the world and eclipsed his father's kingdom. Solomon's kingdom was far greater than David's kingdom. Far, far greater. And because David did not just shut himself down and say, I'll never love again. I'm never going to be involved in anybody's life. I'm never going to reach out. No. The world was blessed because he gave his love. Jesus knows what it's like to love in the middle of pain. It's called the cross. Jesus knows what it's like to keep on loving when you don't feel like loving. Jesus knows what it's like to keep on loving when you feel like your love is being rejected. He keeps on loving. 1 John 3:16, what we know what real love is because Christ gave his life for us. In other words, he lost his life for us. So we have to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. This is the path to peace. It is the path of surrendering your pain, surrendering your hurt, surrendering your fears, surrendering the problem, surrendering everything that's in your life that's messing up. Say, God, I give it all to you. You will go through these kind of things in your life, and you need to be ready to walk the path of peace, which is surrender. I surrender control. I surrender to your care. I surrender to your love. I surrender the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, you need to surrender to him today. Whatever discouragement, whatever depression, whatever fatigue, failure, frustration, or fear you have, you need to dump it on God right now. The Bible says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Say, Jesus Christ, just say this in your heart, Jesus Christ, as much as I know how, I open my life to you and I surrender the good, the bad, and the ugly in my life. I surrender my fears. Jesus, I surrender my flaws. Jesus, I surrender my failures. Jesus, I surrender my frustrations. I surrender my faults. I give you every area of my life. I surrender my past. I surrender my future. And I surrender this moment. And I want to walk the path of peace with you. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this message, or you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, Scripture memorization is a powerful tool to help you remember God's promises, principles, and the purposes He has for you. That's why Pastor Rick created a very special scripture card set with 52 key verses from his How to Get Through What You're Going Through teaching series. This 52-card set is filled with beautiful artwork, accented by stunning gold foil designs. These verses will help you remember that God is in control and that He will bring good out of bad. And today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, we'll send you the How to Get Through What You're Going Through scripture card set to say thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. And be sure to let us know what station you heard us on. Thanks so much for your support. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to introduce you to David, who, despite living with depression, is learning to take his attention off himself and put it on others. David wrote me this. Hey, Pastor Rick. I've been listening to your sermons via podcast almost daily for 3 years now. I can't begin to tell you the growth that I've had in my spiritual life by you choosing a life of service. I hope my story will be an encouragement to you and to others. I've struggled for years through depression. Yesterday, I was feeling down after recently experiencing depression again and going through medication changes. Instead of choosing my go-to late-night TV show to drown out my thoughts, I made a decision to turn to God by watching your interview, Lessons from Pastor Rick's Life. Your words made me realize how self-centered my prayers and life have been for quite some time. I've been wasting the hurt of depression on myself by focusing on all my prayers and my energy on me. I confess this, and I ask for forgiveness and the wisdom to recognize who needs help around me and also having the courage to act. The next morning, I woke up to a text from an old friend who I had left behind in a haze of depression 10 years ago. Now, that text was confrontational, unlike so many of people who are suffering from depression. They know it's easy to avoid these kind of things. Then everything I had prayed the night before hit me. I told him everything, and I asked for forgiveness, and it was given. And he explained that he, too, suffers from depression and had thought about suicide. He thought he was all alone and no one cared. What started out as an angry text turned into a great hour-long conversation. During our goodbyes, he expressed how talking with him meant the world. I even cried. Who thought a depressed guy who felt no emotion for so long could cry tears of joy? Not me. Rick, your words about courage and never wasting a hurt helped me stand up to what I felt was a giant problem and turn it into an answered prayer. I won't ever waste this hurt again, David. Well, David, I'm thrilled to hear how God is helping you use your hurt to help others. That's the way God intends for it to be. God is so faithful to take our pain and make something useful from it. So keep your eyes focused on the Lord and keep your eyes focused on the needs of other people. God bless you, David.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.